The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch,
blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Red Kirsch.
Our show should make cops bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and if you haven't guessed already from the opening, it's me and Paul today. Eric is out in Springfield, Mass, covering a big fundraiser for tornado relief out there.
Yeah.
The Patriots and the Crafts are giving $100,000, and they're asking people to donate as well, so they're having an event out there. Eric's there, and of course, it's the summer of Andy.
That's right.
And Andy is off, but... you know, that doesn't mean we don't have an Andy story to talk about.
What a buffoon.
Yesterday, you guys got your iPhones, right?
We did.
You traded.
I have mine right here in front of me.
Traded in your BlackBerry, and you all got iPhones. And no sooner did Andy get his than he broke it. I guess he put it in the stroller at home, and it fell out. And what are they going over, like speed bumps with the stroller?
I don't know what he's doing.
So he cracked it, and I get an email. You know,
I made fun of him in the email that he told me, because he told me about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, he shoots back at me. He goes, well, it wouldn't have happened if I was like you and just kept it in my backpack. Like, right. Even when he breaks something, right. He has to turn it. So yeah. You make fun of it. And
he's like,
as I told him and I told you, I spent over an hour last night with it, just kind of playing around, downloaded a couple of apps. You showed me how to do, I feel like I learned a lot yesterday, Freddie,
yeah.
From your tutorial.
Well, one of the things you learned is you got to take care of the stupid thing, right?
I was learning the phone a little bit.
No, he,
I'm still clueless.
He's like, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. It's like, yeah, bad luck.
I had it in the stroller. That's not bad luck.
No, that's just dumb. So anyway, he's not in today, but we can make fun of him for breaking his iPhone after literally having it for hours. Did Serena Williams lose?
No, she won in three, though.
Why is she crying?
I don't know. They're very emotional.
The
Williams sisters are very emotional.
Yeah. So we talk about that. Obviously, the owners are in Chicago today. Big meeting. Every team has two representatives. They're not all necessarily owners, but the crux of the meeting is to update those owners who haven't been directly involved in the CBA negotiations on the current status. And, you know, it seems to me interesting, though, that if that's the nature of today's meeting, why isn't it all owners there? Why is it reps? I mean,
yeah,
I think there are a lot of owners, but...
No, I mean, all the owners will be there. Well, unless there's a reason for someone not to be in attendance, which I can't imagine. I got to think all 32 owners are there, but also there's a number two person from every organization, which I assume is Jonathan Kraft for the Patriots. I would assume Robert and Jonathan are there. I know that some of the people on Twitter have stated that it's
okay.
Robert and Jonathan.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any confirmation on that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else, you know. I guess that some of the people, Albert Breer, our old pal with the NFL Network now, has been saying that there are some football people. I don't know exactly, does that mean like a Belichick type, a head coach /
GM.
General manager,
yeah, but,
who's got his fingers in a number of different areas within an organization? I don't know if that's the football type person he's talking about, or maybe, like a Mike Tannenbaum, you know, type cap guy.
Yeah.
Is who he's talking. I don't really know who... The other guy would be who the football guy he's talking about, but evidently they are not planning on having this be more than one day now. Most of these guys are reporting that it's, you know, because there was a story last week. They were told to pack a bag, be prepared to stay overnight. Doesn't look like they're going to need to stay overnight, which is probably a good thing, I guess, if they can get their work done.
I don't know. It could be also a bad thing where it's not much to talk about because. You know, we haven't made much progress.
Yeah, I think that the important part of this is, and I think there was some confusion about this early last week, but this year, this week, I think, is about getting all the owners on board, on the same boat. Not trying to, quote-unquote, win this thing.
Right.
You know, just, you know, I think Irsay tweeted out over the weekend that he hopes that both the players and owners hate the new CBA. And I think the inference there was that would be an indication that it's probably a pretty fair deal for both sides. I think they need to stop the smaller market, the lower revenue teams that we all talk about all the time, need to stop trying to, quote-unquote, beat the players in this deal, because that's not going to happen. They're not going to be able to get the players to make those concessions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those small market, they're looking for free money. And, you know, and obviously they were, the plan all along was to get that money from the players. And, you know, I can understand why the players would say, why should we be the ones to help that? You know, we, you know, and so all along, you know, you've been saying, and I think it's true, and I've agreed that, you know, it's owners and owners have to get their act together.
That's what I think today is all about. They want to make sure they get all of these guys, now, ideally, all 32 on the same boat. Now, more realistically, you're probably hoping for, what, 28?
Yeah.
29? You know, there's going to be, you know, like the last time, there was, you know, Mike Brown and,
there were two
and Ralph
owners,
Wilson
right.
that voted against it. Now, in retrospect, they were probably a little bit more... they probably had a little bit more of the facts on their side than we all gave them credit for at the time.
Right.
But they can't. I don't think they want a situation where it's 24-8, even though that's all they need. I think they want a little bit more solidarity than that.
And they're not having a vote. They're not going to be voting on anything today, as far as I know, and which, you know, means that, you know, there isn't anything yet in writing that to vote on. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I still hope that they have something done within the next 2 weeks. And I think that's what they're all hoping for. I heard, what, July 13th or something was that date?
If they could get an agreement in place by the beginning of July, that would be ideal.
Right.
Because then you can have maybe a week go by after the holiday, start free agency, wait 2 weeks or so, start camp,
right.
And then you can you don't even have to lose any, you know, like the Hall of Fame game, for example, I think what Florio wrote about.
Yep.
You know, July 23rd, you could have whoever the two teams, they escape me. I think the Rams are one and maybe Chicago. I forget the teams that are playing in the Hall of Fame game, but you have those two teams open camp on the 23rd, and then you have a pretty normal, you know, it'll be a sprint. July will be a very busy month when it normally isn't, but by the time you get into August, it's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Football is normal in August if that scenario unfolds.
I mean, free agency in that scenario is going to be like a feeding frenzy with Sharks.
That's why I think it might it's going to hurt teams, hurt players, because for the most part, you're dealing with regular, you know, Matt Light type, just veteran free agents who are not going to have the luxury of going out there shopping their services to everybody, because there's just not going to be enough time.
It's funny. I can hear the trucks backing up in your microphones.
Oh, is that right?
So that's what it for the listeners if they're hearing things.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a concert load-in going on
Swift
right outside.
Is up. I think two shows this weekend here at Gillette Stadium.
Saturday and Sunday.
Fred, are you going to the Taylor Swift
concert? No, I won't. I'll be down in Pennsylvania.
Why are you not going to the Taylor Swift concert?
I'll be at the what is it called? The King of the Hill Cup in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania.
Is it lacrosse? Okay.
Lacrosse, nice.
That's long pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll be there, and then from there I'm going to Gettysburg for the Gate Cup.
Wow.
So
you going to take in some history?
I think in the day in between tournaments I am going to do a tour of the Western battlefields in Gettysburg.
Jake Steele tours Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I can get that out.
All right, Kevin.
I know it's been a tough day.
He has been here since three.
Yeah,
he's been posting on Facebook already.
Fred's keeping me busy.
Yeah, I have some assignments for Kevin.
Oh, good.
Keep him busy.
Good.
You know, during the lockout.
So you have a busy weekend.
Yeah, I do. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. I got my toilet in.
That's great, Fred.
That was an adventure.
And you did it yourself?
Well, I had a guy down the street help me.
Oh.
But So I take the old toilet out. Which
these things don't cost a whole lot of money to do, you know. Just hire someone that knows how to do it.
I hacked off the screws because they were all rusted. I got the old toilet out, but then the flange on the bottom was all corroded. So that had to be replaced, which means all the PVC pipe below had to be cut and a new flange had to be put in. You know, back in the day, these flanges were metal. Now they're plastic. They don't rust, but it was a real pain.
All right.
Real pain. So I think I started at 8, got done around 1:30. So it was a long job for 5.5 hours until I was done. Works well now, though.
Yeah?
Yep.
I told you, you won't regret that decision.
Well, I don't know. American Standard, that's what I ended up getting.
But it's okay. The flush.
You got the flush is good.
Yeah. You won't regret that.
Yeah. All right. Again, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
A very quiet weekend on the NFL circles. Usually, you know, it had gotten to the point the last week or so.
Yep.
Before that, you know, last week when we were doing the shows, it seemed like there was a new scroll going every 5 minutes saying something different about it. And all of a sudden, it was kind of quiet over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we knew about the meeting that was going to take place today. Last week, but we haven't really heard much else until today. So hopefully we'll get some news and we can pass it along on Thursday.
Bruins had their parade on Saturday, and I guess it was the largest crowd ever for any one of these things.
Well, the police didn't say they wouldn't give any estimates, but I will say that's, and not to sound like a, you know, Johnny Homer here, but that's not apples to apples. You know, it was a absolutely beautiful June Saturday morning,
right?
As opposed to for the Red Sox, early November in the pouring rain in the middle of the week. Maybe even it was on the weekend, but it was a terrible, terrible day in the Patriots in the dead of winter in February. So if they had more people, not taking away the economy, it is impressive that all those people were there, but to me it's not really apples to apples.
I dropped my kid off at the train at about...
He went?
Yeah, about 7:30 in the morning, and it was packed.
My kids wanted to go, and I just thought it was too many people and for them. They're small. They're 6 and 4. They're too young.
But it was good. It was only like 9 arrests the whole day.
Yeah, they were very, very well behaved.
So, and I think it was more of a family thing because
There were a lot of kids there. I didn't see a ton of kids my kids' age. I just thought that, and you looked at some of those pictures with those bike fences up and the, you know, I think they would have freaked out.
Yeah.
I think they would have freaked. I know I would have.
Yeah.
Because I would have been
too many people
concerned, and I would have ended up having to carry at least the little one way more than I would have wanted to.
Too many people. And then they went to Fenway, and they had all four trophies out at Fenway.
I'll tell you right now. Did they have them at Fenway?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I saw a picture. Where did
they
see
had it? All the trophies, all the hockey trophies.
No. They had the baseball.
They need to set up a charity thing because that's a home run.
Yeah.
You get all four coaches who, in addition to it being incredibly rare that we actually have, in this short time span, have all four of our major teams have won titles, all the four coaches are still currently coaching those teams. Four coaches in the four trophies together, and I think that line will go forever.
That's
people
great.
Lining up waiting to take their pictures with those.
Yeah, you could charge $100 a picture for that.
I mean, that might be a little bit much, but I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
The Red Sox was done very well on Sunday. They had the Bruins there. They felt like it was just a continuation of the parade.
Yeah.
By the way, Brad Marchand is still drunk.
Oh yeah,
which $150,000 bar tab at
I saw that
at Shrine down at Foxwoods,
I love
and that.
That
doesn't count the $100,000, you know, the Mark Cuban bottle of champagne that they got too, just like the Mavs did.
Right.
So there are hockey players can
oh sure
they can compete.
Yeah, they like their beers.
They can play.
They're Molson Golden.
Oh, something like 450 Bud Lights and 2 Coors Lights.
No Miller Lite.
No. No, Bud Light, Miller Lite, same thing.
Yeah. Well, Coors, you know, do you know that Coors is owned by Miller now?
Oh, no, I didn't know
that. It's Miller Coors. They own Coors.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
But to me, they're all the same. I'm not a huge. They're all water.
They're not the same. They're
all water. No, those kinds of beers. Your Sam's and all that stuff, that's different. I'm talking about just regular light beer.
I even think light beer is different. Like Amstel Light is different than a Miller Light.
Yeah, I'm just not a beer
And I think Miller Light is much more flavorful than a Bud Light. I think Bud Light pales in comparison to Miller Light.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I drink beer for the taste. I enjoy the taste. I don't drink to get drunk.
Yeah, I just drink to get drunk.
Right.
We know that.
All right.
That's why I don't drink that much, because otherwise like, I'd be drunk all the time.
It's not like Bud Light's a client or anything.
What's that? They're not?
No, they are.
They are.
They're a pretty big client.
Well, they got to work on their taste. What can I tell you?
Remember when they used to have those battles, those more taste-less filling battles with, like, the girls in the bikinis?
Yeah.
Fighting in, like, the Jell-O pools?
Yeah.
They should go back to that.
That was Miller Lite.
Yeah, it's Miller Lite. Great taste.
Yeah, but they were, like, battling with Bud Light, though, weren't
No, they
they
weren't.
No?
That was within Miller Lite, people saying, we get it for the great taste or because it's less filling.
I just remember the girls.
Okay. Obviously. That's back when Dave Cowens was one of their spokesmen, and had a good story about that. He actually gave me a case of beer when I was over his house.
I remember you telling me that one.
So every week, Miller would just deliver cases of beer to his house like milk. And I swear to God, he had a big pile of them on his front porch. He said, you drink beer? I'm like, sure. He goes, here, have a case. I drive home, and I'm like, Dave Cowens just gave me a case of beer.
That's just fantastic.
That's when athletes were approachable.
Well, that's the thing about this Bruins stuff that is sort of, I think, resonating with people around here.
Right.
Is they have been incredibly approachable. They came back on that Thursday. We did the show. We didn't really know all these things until later in the day. But they got home on Thursday morning. They went down to Tears, which is, you know, right there,
right.
You know.
On the water there.
Yeah, outdoor. Yeah. And they just walked in with a cup. They put it down on the table, and it was all regular people. They didn't have it like, you know, VIP area.
Right.
Andy Hart would have been very uncomfortable because there was no ropes to hide behind.
Right.
And he would have definitely broken his phone then, too. But they just, among everybody, you know, if you happen to be sitting there, all of a sudden Stanley Cup walks by, and they put it down on a table.
That's
and
incredible.
They, you know, they all have, you know, have been talking about it already, and...
Geez, when we had our after party, we couldn't even go in.
We couldn't get
right.
in. We had to have special permission to get in, if you
right,
recall.
Right.
You know, and we worked there.
Right.
And these guys just, you know.
Yeah.
Between that and then the rally on Saturday, the Red Sox game on Sunday.
For the parade, Chara rode his bike to the parade.
Yeah. Andrew Ferentz just walked down the street with a stroller.
Yeah.
And, you know, walked in and had, you know, had his family with him because he lives in, a lot of them live in the North End.
Good stuff.
So it's, you know. Very close to the garden.
Good stuff. Andy had a post on the PFW blog. You should check it out. A couple guys interning at Maxim.
Maxim, yeah.
Now, there's a good internship.
I think internship. It was Chung, Bodden,
yeah.
and Butler, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
McCourty was in there, too.
Oh, McCourty was. Okay,
yeah.
So maybe I put somebody in that wasn't there.
It's on my coffee table.
So there, that's a good job to have, I guess.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Any other Patriots news that's been going on?
We talked about the stuff last week with Welker and the horse, right?
Right. And actually we have an email, one of our listeners, who is James V. out of the UK, writes that he says he was over in Ascot, and he was taking in some of the horse racing, and he checked to see if it got any coverage, and he saw that story with Welker. I guess Welker is a part owner of Gypsy Robin, who ran in the Queen Mary. I guess that's one of the races. And so they had an interview, and I guess Welker has an interesting way of choosing what horse he wants or something like that.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
It says, as the jockey was getting legged up, I wandered over to talk to the group of top-hatted men who I took to be his other owners. Wes Welker, one of them replied when I asked, yeah, we know him. He's a really great guy. I hear he has an enormous blank.
Yeah.
I think that's...
probably not suitable for this
this
audience.
This slightly concerns me on the information that comes to pass when one invests in a horse seems to be a little bit too in-depth. So I don't know if that's something you have to tell people before you buy a horse.
Is that important?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not into horses.
A lot of players are into horses these days.
You think?
It seems to be a new kind of thing. You know, going to the Kentucky Derby and having a stake in a horse. A lot of guys are investing, you know, not terribly large sums of money, but, you know, in the thousands.
I didn't know that.
Just to have a piece of a horse.
Is that something you'd be interested in?
No.
Me neither.
I mean, I guess if I had, you know, money to really burn and... Just to have a horse and
but
follow
to me, it.
It
would be just as strictly business. It would be just as an investment. If it was a good sound investment and I had like money to burn, as you said, and my advisors told me, oh, this is a good investment. It wouldn't be anything about the fact that it's a racehorse that would tell me, oh, it's something I've always wanted.
Yeah, I have to be into racing.
You know, it's something I've always wanted. Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, it's nothing that really ever interested
me. And I think that whatever the sum is, I think there's probably better ways to invest.
I have a cousin who does that, a distant cousin. Yeah. But he's been into horse training his whole life. He's down in Florida now. He was here. You know, he worked at Suffolk for years and years, and he's down in Florida now.
So he's in Florida. Is that why he's distant?
Yeah, Fred.
Anyway, I might as well finish up with James's email. He says, my serious question actually is about something both owners and players agree on, which is the rookie salary cap. Do you guys know or suspect the kind of system that will hopefully be agreed to? Will it be each individual player cannot earn more than X amount in his first year, Y amount in the second year, etc., or teams will be allowed a certain percentage of the cap to spend on rookies and young players as a group and can divide that how they see fit or something else? Given there will hopefully be a rookie wage scale introduced, will that make first-round picks even more valuable than they already are? I'm thinking specifically to Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, his policy of trading down to acquire first-round picks in the next years. As always, keep up the great work. The show was great, and it really helps me get through my boring week. I think this rookie salary cap is a bargaining chip just like everything else. It sounds like it might be part of this new one, but I think it's less here's the pool and you can do whatever you want with it to limiting what these guys in the first round can make, right?
Yeah, I think that's the bigger issue is that. I think they want to make sure that they keep those early picks salaries in line. For the most part, the rest of the way, it's already slotted. It's already slotted now. It's just the numbers are too high for those first, seven, eight picks. They want to lower those numbers. Now, obviously, the other numbers are going to lower as a result, too. But that's, I don't know all the ins and outs of what they're exactly going to do.
Right.
And I don't think that we will know until they actually agree upon it.
Right.
Because right now, that's, as you said, that's a big bargaining chip.
And doing that, if you're wondering, will not lower the cap. Taking away that money from rookies.
No, they want to give it to the veterans.
Yeah, they'll take that and move it over to veteran salaries. Yeah,
the idea is to stop giving guaranteed money to unproven players. You know, the Jamarcus Russell is going to always be the poster child for that. You know, this, $40 million in guaranteed money without having taken a snap, and then the guy's a colossal bust, and what do you do then? You know, for the most part, these high picks recently have been okay. Jake Long. I don't think there's any regret there. Chris Long, these, for the most part lately, Matt Ryan and these guys they've panned out, for the most part. But you want to get away from having to make that risk, having to assume that risk of taking a guy who has done nothing to earn it.
Right. And, a lot of times, the veterans do get hurt because of these new guys. And so if you can help a guy who's been in the league 10 years make a little extra, I think that's a good thing. The careers, these NFL player careers, they're so short. It's such a short window. So they really need to maximize as much as they can there. Let's see. Matt from Glasgow says, love the show, never miss it. The last two Tuesdays have been great with the A-team in charge. My question.
Is that me and you?
I guess so. I don't know who else was here on Tuesday.
Well, really, the A-team is me and Andy. The odd couple is you and I.
Well, my question is, how do you – that was back when He Who Shall Not Be Named started figuring out who was the A-team.
Well, he was never part of any
well, that's right.
real team because, as we know, he wasn't a team player.
My question is, how do you feel that Rob Ninkovich, Mike Wright, and Tully Bannacane performed last year? They had 15 total sacks.
How do what is the question?
How do we think that those guys performed, the three of them?
Bannacane did absolutely nothing all year. Mike Wright showed some promise early in the year and then was hurt for the last half of the year with a concussion and missed the whole time. Ninkovich was a pleasant surprise. I thought his production was reasonably solid, not spectacular, but you know, for a guy who had really not to that point in his NFL career ever had an opportunity to consistently play, I thought he produced to a reasonable level. None of those three guys is going to do anything to help your pass rush. 16 sacks. You know, there's a couple of things that they talk about. The overrated nature of the sack itself. I totally agree with Bill Belichick on. And there was an item that I think it was Pro Football Talk might have written about it. Not Pro Football Talk, Pro Football Weekly, the fake PFW, Noah Naraki.
Right.
I think he mentioned that how Bill Belichick goes about his business. He tracks different things for defensive linemen. You know, in addition to tackles and assists and whatnot, it's forced throwaways and inaccurate passes or something, you know, caused by a defensive lineman or whatever. Those are real. And the Patriots don't get anywhere near enough of those.
Right.
They don't force the quarterback to throw the ball away.
Forcing the quarterback to do something faster than he wanted to.
Right. Now, an example of that would be the Jermaine Cunningham play on Manning that led to the James Sanders interception. That was forcing the quarterback to throw the ball in a manner in which he didn't want to. He had to sort of avoid Cunningham coming at him and may have even had to absorb some contact. You know, it was close play, and Cunningham said he did get there a little bit before he threw the football. So that's one thing that is important. I don't think the Patriots do nearly enough. You can tell me they had 15 sacks, that trio, but that doesn't tell me at all what kind of pressure they had. What tells me what kind of pressure they had is they finished 32nd in the league on third downs and something like 30th on against the pass.
Yeah,
those are bad numbers.
Defense is so hard. Tackles are tough to figure out. I mean, every game, you get your game book, and it says how many tackles each guy had, both unassisted and assisted. And then the coaches, you know, watch the tape, and they come out with totally different numbers.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've looked at the end of a game because, you know, you're writing stuff, and you want to make sure that, you know, like let's say the Patriots were dominant against the run in a game. The other team had 20 yards rushing. Well, you want to look and see, you know, well, my mind told me that, you know, they were really clogging up the point of attack, but is there anybody specifically I want to credit for that? And then you go back to the book and you're like, wow, Patrick Chung had 13 tackles in the game? Jeez, I would have never thought that because they were so dominant up front. It looked like, you know, the Mayos and the Wilforks and those guys were dominating, you know? But sometimes it doesn't really show up.
No.
And that's when they get the coaches come in, Fred, to your point. And they say, well, Wilfork took two blockers here. He forced the running back. He gets an assist.
Right.
That's why the numbers are always inflated when the coaches do them.
And it's only fair.
Absolutely.
That's why, more of a
measure of the guy's value.
That's why football is so different from all these other sports because, you know, a guy can do something on the other side of the field that can totally affect a quarterback's throw that ends up being an interception for a guy on the other side of the field.
Right.
What that guy did on the other side forced the quarterback to look that, you know, so it's all interrelated. That's what makes it so such a geeky game, but also a tough game to really analyze from a layman's standpoint. We think we know what's going on out there, but we really don't. We can only guess. Tim from Fresno, sign up for the PFW paper, should receive my first issue soon. I have heard rumors of Plaxico to the Pats. What do you think? And glad to hear you got the new toilet. We call that the bowl mover in the industry vernacular. As far as, instead of bowel mover.
I got it.
As far as the new CBA, I think a rookie cap is a good idea. I think Mr. Kraft will get the deal done, and we will have a full season. Plaxico to the Pats. It's kind of talked about. What do you think?
I don't really think that's going to happen, but. You know, we'll see.
I'd rather take a flyer on him, assuming I've already talked to him, than Ocho and T.O. Yeah.
Well, not me with Ocho, but T.O. certainly. I don't want any part of him. I just don't think it's a huge need, and I don't think it's I don't think that that's an area that they need to go. This is a guy who has been in and out of trouble with all of that stuff. You know, it's not just, you know, the gun charge. It's being a bad teammate, which he has been throughout his career.
Yeah, a lot of showing up late for meetings.
Meetings and lack of respect for how things are done.
Yep.
I just I'm just watching the highlights of the Red Sox game as I'm speaking. This is why I'm having a hard time getting thoughts out. I didn't realize they had a 10-run inning. It was a 3-3 game in the seventh inning last night when I stopped watching, and I saw this morning that they got 10 in the seventh inning. I didn't realize they all came with two outs.
Yeah, it was ugly.
That's unbelievable.
They hit a couple guys to drive in runs. They walked in runs. It was pretty awful.
Yeah, I haven't seen a hit yet. They have two hits in the inning and six runs in with two hits. And I assume Adrian Gonzalez goes yard hit. No, just a regular hit.
So, but you know, I think that Corey Dillon was a guy that you could consider a bad teammate, right? But
he was a bad teammate for two out of his 3 years.
I know,
here.
But he came here and he produced.
Yeah, they don't have the desperate need for a running back for a wide receiver that they had at running.
See,
back
I don't know.
I know you think all the wide receivers stink on the team.
I don't think it's desperate. But I think it's certainly an area that it would serve them to upgrade because...
Yeah, they could use another outside receiver. There's no question about that.
I think they need an outside receiver.
I don't know why they need that when they didn't need it last year. You just point to one game when the quarterback didn't play well and you say, oh, they need an outside receiver.
I think that the Jets might have given the blueprint to other teams.
What about the blueprint that happened a month earlier? When they put up 45 against the same team.
Because, admittedly, the Jets did not approach that game correctly. And when they did...
Yeah, well, maybe the Patriots didn't approach the playoff game correctly. I mean, that's what the owner said.
Well, yeah, he said they could have used the game plan. But right. I also think that they need an outside speed receiver.
I don't have any worries, concerns, fears at all about the Patriots offense. You know, call me the biggest... blind homer loyalist that there is, but I don't have any fears about the Patriots offense whatsoever. Could they use another guy on the outside? Yeah.
So you're.
I would not make that.
So Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, starting running back, no problem.
Yeah, but they have guys now behind him. Last year he was the only guy.
Whoa! We have two guys we drafted. We don't know how good they're going to be.
But they have them there. They're going to be. They didn't have that last year.
Well, they had
Sammy Morris
there.
Was hurt. Fred Taylor was hurt. They didn't have anybody behind him. It was live and die with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. That made me a little
uncomfortable.
Danny
Woodhead. Right.
That made me a little uncomfortable.
Sure.
Now, Benny did the job. But I don't have to have him do the job now because if he doesn't, I have another guy in Ridley. I have two different options as third down backs with Woodhead
and
Vereen.
You're putting a lot of faith in a couple guys.
And Bill
guys.
Belichick, yeah, he drafted these guys high.
But you're putting a lot of faith in a couple guys who've never played an NFL down.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They don't need to go out and rush for 1,500 yards, Fred.
No, but combined.
Give me 500 yards out of Ridley. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
That's a good solid season. Now, maybe he won't get that. Maybe he won't be a big part of that, but maybe Benny will be, you know, closer to 1,300 than he was just 1,000 yards.
I think my overall point is that right now, it's tough to make an argument that the running game is going to pick up any slack.
I don't think it will because they will throw the ball.
Right.
That's what they do.
It's not going to be a balanced offense at this point in time.
Well, do you think they were balanced last year?
No.
I do.
You think they were?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they were.
I don't think that they can run the ball effectively.
They were a pass-first team.
Absolutely, but they were balanced.
I think they get, you know.
Where I don't think they can run the ball, I do, and I've always been critical of this, I'm not inconsistent. I don't think they run the ball very well when they quote-unquote have to run the ball. When the other team is lined up, knowing the run is coming, I don't think they're overly successful at it. However, here's a couple of things. They were very good in short yardage last year, and they were outstanding in the red zone last year.
True.
Running the ball. That's all I care about. As long as you can get me a yard when I have to have it, I don't mind that. Now, where I think they need to improve is when they have a lead in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And I don't want to have to throw the ball as much as we have to throw it to move the chains and keep the ball.
I just think
I don't want to go run, third and eight. All right, Tom, make a play.
I just think that in the middle of the field, I want teams to be concerned about the run as much as Tom Brady.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, I that's what I said. I'd like to have that happen. And I think when that happens, then they're unstoppable.
I just don't know how many points you're expecting to score.
I think one of the reasons they were so good in the red zone last year because teams had to fear those tight ends, and I think that.
So you don't think they will this year?
Oh, I think no, but I think the passing game helped the running game
again. Of course,
again.
It does.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. The running game is good enough. Now, if you lost all the, you know, if you lost the ability, if Brady, God forbid, would go down and you had to rely more on the running game, I don't think you have a good enough running game.
And I also think that you know, Deion Branch is a year older, and, you know, Wes Welker had a lot of drop passes. The book's out on Danny Woodhead in the passing game. I think that they need a little help in the pass. I think Brady needs a little help in the passing game.
This is very simple. This show has gone far too smoothly with you and I agreeing with each other every Tuesday, and you're trying to get me involved in a fight.
No.
I will take the bait shortly. Don't worry about
it. No, I think that they need to improve the passing game.
Will.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. This team moves the ball and scores
what about
at will.
I thought
they were 14-2 because of their offense, not their defense.
But I also think they were 14-2 because of the incredible disparity they had in the turnover game, the turnover differential.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that going to happen again?
Probably not.
Yeah.
So probably not.
If you're not,
so you're 11-5 instead.
Well, if you can't depend on all those turnovers, I think you need to generate a little bit more.
Listen, I'm not being blind to the areas that need. I think that they need another wide receiver. I do. I think you are correct. I think they need another wide receiver. I just don't think it needs to be a guy who you're taking a chance on. You're not desperate for that guy to come in. And I don't like Plaxico
Burress.
I
think that's,
I don't like what he brings to the table.
I think not being desperate is the perfect time to bring in a guy like that because you're
not
going to overpay him. You're going to say, hey, look, you come on our terms or you don't come because you're not desperate. I think this is the time.
Well, obviously, he comes on your terms, or he doesn't come.
Well, I mean,
Bill Belichick is in charge. Yeah, he's not going to take it.
But you know what I mean. You know, you're going to lowball him.
But
why
put yourself in a situation where you're relying on someone who might not pan out?
Well,
he can potentially disrupt you.
He could.
The Randy Moss trade last year potentially could have hurt this team.
Yes, it could.
It didn't, and that's a testament to the team and to Belichick.
Right.
But that was a problem that didn't need to be, correct?
But I think that
now you're taking another one on intentionally.
Again, I think you do your due diligence and you don't, you know, you minimize the risk by knowing what this guy's, you know, mindset is.
These guys always end up being what they are.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a matter of when it's going to manifest itself.
But they said the same thing about when Randy Moss came here,
right,
and we got four good years out of him.
Luckily, we got 3 good years out of him.
Yeah.
Not 4.
Okay, 3.
Luckily.
But what if
what happened in 2011 happened in 2007?
That's a big what if, though. I mean, you know,
with Corey Dillon, it happened earlier. It could have happened early with this guy.
You don't know.
Going to happen.
Look, it's a matter of when, not if. If we can win a Super Bowl with Plaxico Burress, I'll take the next year him being a jerk.
You don't know you're going to win a Super Bowl with the guy beforehand.
I understand. But
so you created a scenario that everybody would say, well, sure, Fred, I would too. But there's no way to know how he's going to act.
No.
What if he comes in here and he realizes that, wow, they throw to Welker every play. And when they don't throw to Welker, they throw to the tight ends. And when they don't throw to the tight ends, they throw to Woodhead. And every once in a while, I'm the Brandon Tate now. I get a bomb thrown my way. And he doesn't like that.
Well,
like Randy didn't like it last year.
You set those expectations up front. You see what his mindset is. You don't promise him anything. And if there's any hint that he's not going to be satisfied.
What if he doesn't show you that hint that he's not going to be satisfied, but then he's not satisfied in September?
But I think that at a certain point, you have to say, okay, the risk is worth the reward. And, you know, you'd cut a deal.
Hey, listen.
You know?
Look, they might do it. I don't think it will be the right move. I don't think they need him.
Okay. I don't think they need him necessarily, but I do think they need help in the passing game. Let's go to some of the Ace Ticket hotline calls at 508-298-0398. First, we got Brad from Maryland who wants to talk about a new webpage in the Bruins. Hey, Brad.
The terrible twosome is holding down the fort today.
We're trying.
You're doing all right, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, Paul,
hey, thanks, Brad.
Your fist bump on the Bruins' success.
Yeah, I was pretty jacked.
That was a pretty darn tootin' awesome seventh game. My kids, we taped it because we were actually away. Came home, got up at 5:30 in the morning to start watching it. And they were pretty psyched.
Cool.
I also thoroughly enjoyed the Tully Bantakane did nothing all last year comment. That was awesome. I'm now deeming him AD version 2. So AD V2.
Wow.
That's where I think Tully's headed.
I think it's all relative, but he was they gave him a lot of money, you know, relatively speaking, and he really didn't live up to it.
Yeah. Fred, your comment about how players affect other players.
Right.
I think that's in every sport except baseball. I think baseball is such a one-on-one pitcher versus batter type thing that you really don't get any of those team things going on.
Well, hockey, I think you're right, but football is to the nth degree just because of there's more people out on the field and what they do is so specialized.
Right, but in hockey they give not one assist but two assists, meaning
sure.
You know, the player passes to the player who passes, you know, it might be that first pass that set up the whole goal.
I know, but you're talking about scoring plays. Can you imagine if they gave assists on scoring plays in football?
Oh, yeah, you'd have seven every play.
Exactly, yeah. At least, because you have to give every guy who blocks somebody. You know, so that's what I'm talking about with football. It's just so, you know, it's such a different game than all the
and
others.
And I think that's what makes it so special, is you can look at a play and say, you know, holy cow, how is that hole so huge? Well, because the guard didn't just pull and knock out one guy. He knocked out two guys.
Right, and what about the quarterback who audible from a pass to a run? You know what I'm saying? It's like never-ending.
Yeah, it is. No, and that's what makes it fun, because you can look at it from many different degrees and see the results and what happens, good or bad.
Right.
You know, the right guard whiffs on his block, and right. Brady's on his back, and you're saying, crap, you know, what happened? Oh, well, that's because this.
Right, and that's why it's so fascinating, and we've talked about this before. I doubt it'll ever happen, but I think it would be worth its weight in gold if we could sit down and review a game with Bill Belichick.
Go over
plays with Bill Belichick, you know, like what really happened on this play.
I could see myself getting completely lost, like less than a play in.
Yeah.
You know, like listening to him break down.
But
the
you
film.
Have to be able to ask questions, you know?
Well, no, but you know what?
How long are we going here?
Well, no, but yeah, we have to be able to say, well, what did you mean by that, you know?
Yeah. I think that if, especially somebody like Belichick, maybe a Parcells, who you can just see they direct a game a certain way and affect the outcome. I'll never forget that game in Denver where they intentionally took the safety and then punted, got the ball, you know, stopped them, got the ball back and won. In the locker room, they're all saying, we practice that.
Oh, well, every team does.
No, but I mean, but it's like, it's not enough just to say, oh, yeah, we went over that in July 2.
Sure.
Oh, you know, they obviously were well aware of exactly in that game moment, in that situation, this is what we got to do.
Yeah, what I was talking about, Fred, of being lost, not so much what he says. I think that he would say, you know, he would use terms that we were all familiar with. Maybe we wouldn't know exactly what everything that he was saying was. But I'm talking, I would be lost because I'd be watching it and I'd be like, I don't see what he's, you know, I don't see what he's talking about. I would understand, well, you know, obviously we get the, you know, we get the trap block here and that sprung this guy here and then, you know, we were able to get to the second level and get here and all this stuff, but I wouldn't see it. He would see it all. I mean, he would obviously, as a guy who watches film on a level that none of us would ever even come close to understanding,
right?
He would be able to see what all 22 guys are doing.
And he knows, because he called the play,
right,
what was supposed to happen,
right?
You know, so
you know, I came up from Maryland for the very first game with the greats, because that was my era of player that was mostly going to be there. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I can say that wouldn't even begin to hold a candle to having, you know, maybe like 50 to 75 people in a room with Belichick for 2 or 3 hours just being able to do what you're saying,
Paul. Oh, my
God. That would be so phenomenal. I mean, you would have people paying, you know, way more than we even paid for the game with the greats just to sit down and do that.
But I want the real stuff. I want to hear this guy screwed up. This guy in the other team made a great play.
That's why it could never happen.
We weren't counting on him running this stunt. You know, those are the types of things I want to hear.
I really want to hear. This is why the game plan was to pick on this,
you know,
Shoemaker.
Yeah, like the Pittsburgh Steelers safety.
Right. Those kind of
That's
things.
The kind of stuff that I want to hear.
Yeah.
That you'd never hear.
We saw in three straight game films that we could beat him four plays in a row, and guess what? We did.
Right.
You know. No, it would have to be after he retired.
Right.
You know, it couldn't be while he was coaching. But after he retired, that would be one awesome draw for a charity, you know, for some Patriots charity, to have him come back and do something like that.
Yep.
So what do you think the odds are? You think the odds are we have football by July 10?
I will say that by July 10th we'll have an answer as to when we'll have football. I believe that.
Because I don't think if we don't have football by July 10, and even if they only, what are they going to do, a two-week free agency? I mean, that would be ridiculous. Even if you have it by July 10th, that's what you're looking at.
And I don't think free agency will necessarily stop.
Right, right.
It will start, go for 2 weeks, and then camp will start.
Right. In other words,
you can still sign guys.
Right. The window of free agency before other things start, we're looking right now at hopefully 2 weeks. You know, that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Paul said, camp starts. Free agency keeps going on and probably ends the same time it normally does. When's the free agent period end? Like October? Something like that?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, in terms of the trading deadline,
trading deadline would be then.
But
right. You can sign guys after.
Yeah. If guys were available on the street, they were just street free agents. You could sign them, like Brad said, anytime.
Yeah, and think about that. All these street free agents that are out there now, unsigned, undrafted rookies.
Yeah, there's a difference between a street free agent, as they call them street free agents in the NFL, and these guys right now.
Right,
these guys aren't street free agents.
But
free agents are guys who have no affiliation with any team.
Right.
Matt Light is not technically a street free agent. He was a Patriot. He's currently an unrestricted free agent. There's a difference between a street free agent.
If you figure by July 10, 14 days of free agency gets you almost to the end. I mean, it's 1 week from the end of July. That's only going to give you a 5 week camp from the get go.
Well, I mean,
that's all it is.
But that's okay because teams sign free agents during camp. They bring guys in, and you know.
Well, no, but I'm saying
it's manageable.
If you're looking, I mean, like we've been saying, maybe they're going to bring in a left tackle for 1 year. You know, and if they don't believe Solder is going to be ready, I'm just saying. That's giving you very little time to negotiate. You've almost got to go, hey, Paul, guess what? We're going to give you $4.2 million for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. Take it or leave it.
Well, that,
and if Paul doesn't say yes, we're going to go to Fred.
But that's why the players aren't going to get very many deals.
Right,
that is what's going to happen.
Paul's right when he said before that this is going to hurt those free agents because they're not going to have the time to negotiate, and they know that teams are going to move on. So guys aren't going to get as much as they probably would have in a full free agency season.
Yeah.
All right, Brad. Thanks for the call.
I think we're going to see it before July 10.
Okay. I hope you're right.
So.
All right. Hang in there.
Just for semantics.
All right.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Let's see. 508-298-0398. Swig's been holding on. Hey, Swig.
Guys.
We had a caller last week that was begging you to call in and do your Christopher Walken.
An open request.
Yeah.
I'm going to share a little soliloquy with you. And it'll only take a second. Two PFW hosts fall in the bucket of cream. The first little host, Eric Scalabino, quickly gives up and drowns. That second mouse wouldn't quit. He struggled so hard that eventually he churned that cream into butter and climbed his way out. That mouse's name was Jake Steele, Cadillac crime fighter. Wow.
Oh, that's...
Sorry, it was off the cuff. It wasn't that good.
That's okay. That's good. I love it.
I did hear the shout-out from Orlando, and I know I'm going to disappoint you guys because normally you're a big fan of the listener-on-listener crime, but... I got a lot of respect for Orlando. He's got a certain swagger. He brings it with his calls. He's good people.
All
so
right.
That was for him, for PFW Nation. And
wow.
I changed my profile picture on Facebook there with my PFW shirt on just to give you guys a shout-out this week.
Grace.
For keeping the flame going and fighting crime and all that you do, Fred. Certainly appreciate it.
For fighting
Thanks,
crime.
Thanks, when I don't have to bring the garbage out. Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
On a Patriots-related topic... A lot of people are writing in and calling, and this is what we do as Boston sports fans. We all want Mark Herzlick on this team because he's a good guy, and he went to BC, and he's a Patriots guy, and yada, yada, yada. But realistically, if Bill or the organization had an interest in this guy, you don't think they would have taken a crack at him in the seventh round? I mean, he's obviously a name, he's a story, there's got to be other teams there. It just doesn't seem like a realistic scenario. It's like one of those people we always wish for in the free agents. That, like, you know, like Andy gets us all worked up and wanting a particular guy, but the organization has no interest in that person, that we all get disappointed when somebody else picks him up.
And that's the point I think you're making there, Swig, is if all these characteristics of Herzlick are true, I think other teams would be interested in him as well. I think it comes down to what they think he can do on the field at this point.
Right. And, like, I'd love to see him on the team. I think he's a great guy. I think he could fit here. He could do some stuff. I think... You know, the choices that they made later in the draft clearly indicated that, you know, but there are some guys that they took at the end of the draft there that may or may not contribute. But if you have a need, as we all feel that they do, a pressing need at your outside linebacker, and you have a guy who has all those things that, you know, Bill likes as a coach, but you passed on him, I just, you know, I'd love to see him there. I just don't think it's a realistic shot. Thoughts?
No, I agree.
Okay. I'm sorry I don't have more to bring to the table than that, but I heard the podcast.
No, Swig, I was just, you know, our lunch just got here, so you caught me, you know, eating my pizza. But I actually couldn't agree with you more. And I would definitely sign this guy as an undrafted free agent just for all that he brings. But I have no illusions of what he's going to bring on the field, because I feel like if I feel just like Swig said, if he was that kind of player, you know, a former ACC Defensive Player of the Year, I think someone would have drafted
right.
him. Guys
right.
like that don't go
right.
undrafted.
The Patriots aren't the only ones that look for those things in a player. All teams do. You know,
now,
so why didn't
I would
team...
sign him and hope that I can be the team that has him as he regains some of this ability that hopefully will come back. But I am not sitting there saying they got to jump all over this guy. We've gotten thousands of emails saying, why have they not signed him? Or why, you know, sure. are they going to sign him when the lockout is over? And I just don't really understand why the enthusiasm, other than it's a great story.
Because that's what we do, right?
Right,
that's right.
Patriots fans, that's what we do.
Right. All right, Swig.
Well, thanks for keeping it entertaining, and have a great summer.
All right, Swig.
Thanks,
you.
Swig.
One of the best Christopher Walken. I wonder, does he do any other celebrities?
I don't know, but what do you think would happen if you ever met Christopher Walken? That would be pretty cool.
That'd be great.
Guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Albert Breer tweeting out, this is from Strippers, one owner told me things are still fragile, but deal is attainable in the next few weeks. Player-owner talks resume after this meeting. So that's what Albert Breer just tweeted out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Lunch is here. We don't want to talk with our mouths full. It's 12:53, but we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email. guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's
you. That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault. Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the
not
email.
My fault. It's not my fault that I'm not talking about your funny.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here to PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Fred and Paul are here. Kevin's in the booth. Eric's out covering the charity event in Springfield, Mass. I don't know if you knew, but had a lot of tornadoes a few weeks ago in Springfield and or in Western Mass. Really a lot of devastation. So the Patriots have committed $100,000 to help with that and having an event to try to get other people to do the same. So that's where Eric is. And, of course, Andy is this is the summer of Andy, so he's taking Tuesdays off and breaking iPhones while he's doing it.
Absolutely.
Peter writes in from, I think, where is he from? Northern Ireland. Hey, guys, and Chaz. And he asks, is
home
that
of Rory McIlroy.
Is that short for Chastity Scalavino? And it is. It's
yes.
True. Great show as usual this offseason. Here's hoping the lockout ends soon, as the show's becoming Red Sox today is far from appealing. Idea for a few minutes of football talk, as we don't all have Jake Steele dreams to write in about, unfortunately. Who would make up your all-AFC East team? Wow. All-AFC East team. That's an interesting one. I think Brady's your quarterback, no doubt about that. Let's start with that.
I think so.
Now, running back.
It depends. It depends on what you can, like, is Ronnie Brown still considered in the league? In the division?
How they ended 2010, let's say.
You know, that's a tough one. Ronnie Brown, you know, LT had a good year for the Jets.
Yeah, but.
Sean Green. Fred Jackson's a good player.
Yeah, up in Buffalo.
I'd say the Patriots running back core might be lagging behind.
Yeah, I'd take Fred Jackson. If I only could take one. You know,
I'd like to see Fred Jackson on the Patriots. I'll tell you that. I bet you he could be a highly productive guy in the Patriots.
And then for wide receiver, you know, you take Marshall from Miami, right?
Well, there's a lot of good receivers in that division.
Right.
You know, Lee Evans
slot.
Is a good receiver for Buffalo, even though he doesn't have anybody throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Certainly, Holmes is an outstanding receiver for the Jets. Edwards is more of a downfield one-trick pony, but he's pretty good.
You almost take one or two from each, you know, take one from each team. You take Welker from the Patriots, Brandon Marshall from the Dolphins, Lee Evans. And
take the Patriots tight ends.
And take Holmes.
Although, I'd want a spot for Keller, too. But I'd take Gronk and Keller.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the tight ends.
And then your line, well, that's, you know, forget about the line.
Yeah,
linebacker's interesting because, you know, you think, oh, Gerard Mayo was, you know, Pro Bowler, but you know the Jets had some good.
Yeah, you don't want my answer.
Linebacker, you take all the Jets linebacking. So it's an interesting. Will Fork makes the team, obviously.
Will Fork would definitely make the team. You know, Sean Ellis last year. I mean, if it was just the Patriots, he'd make it. But evidently, he didn't play like he did against the Patriots against everybody else.
Right.
I'll tell you who would get a lot of consideration for a defensive tackle. It's Kyle Williams from Buffalo. And I know that, you know, the Bills' run defense is so bad, it's hard to credit a guy who's job is to largely stop the run, but he's a pretty good player. A lot of people speak very highly of him.
You have cornerbacks Revis and McCourty?
Yeah, I don't think I would go anywhere else there. Yeah, those are the two best cornerbacks in the division last year.
Yep.
Sure.
Let's see. Kevin writes in, he will be gone for 5 minutes. I need to get guests for the ESPN Boston guys up at reception. So that's where he is. Back to Peter's email. Says, all right, great work as usual, keeping the flame alive. P.S. Your show, among other things, namely booze, is helping me get through my first real breakup, mainly as it is impossible to be too sad listening to Eric being ripped into, Fred's toilet concerns, Andy's giggling and hockey rinks being erected, and the classic Paul wanting to kill a guy soundbite. Thanks for all that, guys. Remember, Peter, there's plenty of fish in the ocean, and don't let women get to you, because
How old are you, Peter?
I don't know. It was an email. It wasn't a phone call.
And I don't know if he had said.
No, didn't say.
That was good though, Fred.
Yeah. Greg from the Billing.
The age there makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I guess if you're 70 and you've been married for 50 years.
Well, you said it's his first real breakup, but you know you could have that at like 28.
Right.
That's a pretty serious thing.
No, I told my kid.
If he's like 18, yeah.
I told my kid, because he's broken up with a. I said, don't worry about it. I mean, don't even think yet twice about it.
But, I know that Jake Steele probably never had to go through that, but we've all had them. Even when you're like 18, they hurt. Sometimes they hurt. Like I said, I know you probably didn't have to deal with it, Fred.
No.
Because you were too cool.
No, Jake Steele didn't have to worry about that.
I let it happen once. Once.
I was thinking.
I said that day it will never happen again, and it hasn't.
Now, my wife's name is Nikki, and I told her, I said, what if we did change our name to Steele? Fred, Jake and Nikki Steele. I mean, that's a good crime-fighting duo, Nikki Steele. That's a,
Admit, it does have a nice ring.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a porn name, I guess, but still.
Oh, is it?
I don't know, but it sounds like one. Greg from the billing department. What's up, guys? Hope the weekend was fun. Nothing too much going over here. As much crap as you guys give Kevin on a regular basis. The tribute that he did for the Bruins on last Thursday's show is fantastic. Oh, when he's not here to hear that. That's too bad. I have listened.
We won't have to tell him either.
I have listened to it for about 8 times already, and I still get goosebumps every single time I listen to it. By the way, did you know that they bought their own bottle of Ace of Spades on Saturday? I think that I read that it was almost 2 times bigger than the one that Mark Cuban bought. Wow. These guys are going to spend all their money on booze.
It's unbelievable.
So with all these CBA meetings going on with the owners and players, how soon do you think it'll take for them to get a new agreement? Which player do you think is getting hurt the most from not having all these camps, one on offense and one on defense, not including rookies, and besides a pass rusher, linebacker, lineman? What position do you think that the Patriots need to address with free agency? All right, have a great show, and we'll see you again on Thursday. Good job again, Kevin. P.S. ESPN Boston said that the parade was the biggest one since the Red Sox first championship since 1918. I don't know. They had duck boats in 1918.
A lot of people have said that, but I don't.
There were more people in 1918 out?
He said it was the most people since the Red Sox first title breaking the 1918 curse. That's what he meant. So in other words, since 2004.
Oh.
That's what he meant.
Whoa.
That is what it was.
Oh, I see what
everybody was saying that over the weekend. But from what I'm told, the police did not give any estimates as to the number of people that were there. I don't know why. Menino probably feels like if you tell people how many people there are, there's going to be looting and mass destruction.
Well, you can do it.
I'm
afterwards.
Still upset about that whole situation.
Yeah. So getting
one
back.
I'll say there's going to be a lot of guys affected. I'll go Taylor Price on offense and Eric Moore on defense.
Why not?
Because I think those are two young guys
that,
could benefit from time in the system.
Sure, and anyone like that would fall in the same boat. So I think those two are as good as any. Let's see. Corey has a trade proposal, and Corey is from Charlotte. How about trading Darius Butler and a later round pick to the Bengals for Michael Johnson, the outside linebacker defensive end? He's 6'7", 268. Ran a 4.6940 and has played both defensive end and outside linebacker in their system. He hasn't been ultra productive, but he's young and has a lot of upside and wouldn't cost a ton. If the Bengals lose Jonathan Joseph in free agency, they will need another corner and might be willing to make the trade. Sounds good to me. I mean, you know, sounds like you're getting one guy.
I liked Michael Johnson coming out of college, but evidently he hasn't really done a whole lot.
Right. It sounds like you're getting one guy who hasn't lived up to what you thought for another guy who hasn't. And
yeah. Now, Jonathan Joseph, they're not going to try to trade for Darius Butler to replace Jonathan Joseph. They need a starting caliber cornerback, and right now, Butler isn't that. Now, maybe he will be.
Right.
But right now, so far, he hasn't been capable of that. But Johnson hasn't lit the world on fire either, so maybe there is some, you know, possibility there.
Brent from Illinois. Hey, Fred, Paul, and Eric, a.k.a. Chaz, a.k.a. how in the hell did he end up working for Football Team's newspaper? Well, seeing as I cannot listen on my phone because the app no longer seems to work on my BlackBerry, and I changed jobs, so I need to be a little more comfortable before listening to you guys live in the office computer. Thus, I have no clue what you are talking about, but I'll take a stab and send in my email anyway. They are working on that whole BlackBerry thing. So, I was thinking about the lockout the other day, and I was curious. Why can't teams talk to undrafted free agents about their interest in joining the team at the end of the lockout? I mean, they are not members of the NFLPA, so basically it would be like the Patriots calling me up and asking if I were interested in joining them when the season starts. Correct, or am I missing something here? It's a good question, and I've heard other people ask it before. You know, why are these people lumped in with, you know, guys that, you know, are members of the NFLPA? And I think that once, even if you're an unaffiliated player, once you have accrued season in the NFL.
Who are we talking about? What players?
What is he talking about? Undrafted free agents.
In terms of what? I mean,
why can't teams talk to them?
Oh. Because if you, I mean, I think that the reasoning would be the owners have decided to
it's
lock
a lockout.
Out the players.
Yeah, right.
Business has ceased.
Business has ceased. You can't have
some. You can't pick and choose the business that you want
right.
to continue.
You can't have some. Exactly. You can't have some business still going
all
on.
All football-related right. activities have stopped.
Right. So
I think it's pretty simple. It has nothing to do with the players. They don't want to be locked out.
Right. So that's the answer. I mean,
that's why they keep going to court. They keep losing, and they keep appealing. Right. And they
A team could call you up, Corey, and say, oh, are you interested in playing here? But they can't do anything with you. They can't try you out. They can't, you know, technically they're not supposed to pick up the phone and do football business. You know, so even the picking up of the phone could violate the spirit of a lockout, you know, because you're doing business. So,
well, there's no could. It would be violating. Yeah. But in addition to that, why would you want to sign a guy now?
Right. You can't do anything with him. You can't try him out. You can't give him a physical. You can't do anything.
But, I mean, if a guy's going to sign, he's, you know. We had a couple of, a little while ago, someone asking about the money. For, you know, Herzlick, Swig talked about the end of the, this Jonathan Kraft on ESPN as we speak.
Right.
But, you know, the Herzlick situation that Swig brought up, you know, they had these late round draft picks that they didn't go in his direction. A lot of times it's beneficial to players to not get taken in the seventh round to instead be undrafted free agents because, A, they're able to sort of dictate their scenario. They can go to a team that they think they might have a niche for or a better fit. And B, sometimes they make more money.
And a lot of times they make more money.
So yeah. To just dismiss that, you know, well, they're undrafted free agents. They get signing bonuses, and they're not the signing bonuses that we read about every day, you know, like, you know, Tom Brady got.
They got like $50,000 or something. Yeah.
But you know, a seventh-round pick might get 20.
Right.
And an undrafted free agent might get 75.
Right. Especially
to
when
a player, that's a lot. To a player of that ilk,
and a lot of times these undrafted free agents have more than one team calling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they play one off the other.
You know, and then they get, you know, they don't want to, a lot of them don't want to sign long-term deals to do it because if it doesn't work out with the Patriots or if they end up sort of, let's say that they sign a three-year deal and the guy makes the team. Dane Fletcher, okay? But he's not getting the playing time or the money that he might want. He might want to get out there so he can get his, you know, now that he's made the league and he's shown the rest of the league that he can play, he might want to get into a situation where he can more, you know, capitalize on his situation.
Sean Shino from Chicago writes in, kind of off topic, but I would like to know, how were things around New England after the Pats didn't make the playoffs the year after the first Super Bowl? Did you guys think things were going to be bad for a long time after that, or did you know they were going to bounce back?
Somewhere in the middle. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be bad for a long time.
Yeah.
Brady showed to everybody in 2002 that he wasn't a fluke, to me. He was much better in 2002 than he was in 2001. So, to me, I think that's the way most people looked at it. They kept the right quarterback, you know, letting Drew go and keeping right. Tom and signing him.
Right.
The future was bright. Now, did they know they were going to go 14-2 the next 2 years and win back? No. I don't think any – I didn't see that. Did you?
No. And, you know, the thing –
I expected them to be a playoff team, though.
I think that the glow of 2001 was so strong that 2002 was kind of like a blur to me.
Well, they couldn't –
honestly.
You know, that team – could not stop the run. You know, you know how there's like little stories about every team. You know, 2007, record-breaking offense. You know,
right.
Every team,
2006, and identity. The
2006,
identity.
The ragtag right. receivers.
Right.
To me, every team has at least one thing that I can identify. You know, the 2005 team was like the Monty Beisel team. You know, every team, to me, has something about it that was identifiable. The 2002 team couldn't stop the run. You know, the 2003 team, interceptions. Remember
that
all
was,
those interceptions that we had that year, the defensive scores?
2002, wasn't that the year they started off being gashed right down the middle by, I forget.
No, we started off 3-0. Like,
no,
everything
but,
was
but
like
there were signs,
and then,
but there
yeah,
were
and
signs
then,
that
then
they couldn't stop the run.
In, yes, right. In that the third game, it was an overtime win against Kansas City here.
Yeah.
That Priest Holmes ran for 200 yards.
That's right.
And everybody said, nothing to worry see, about. Priest Holmes is great.
I got to have a memory like Paul. 60 Minutes did a show. Did you see 60 Minutes Sunday? They had five people on who have these memories. They can remember every day of their lives.
But why can't
literally.
I do it for anything good? And well, I'm being dead serious. Why do I remember things like Priest Holmes running wild in week three
I don't know.
Of 2002,
but it,
which does me absolutely no good in life?
It does, because in this job, it helps you. You know, it absolutely does good.
And then the next week, just to further prove my loserness, we went to San Diego and LT ran for 200 yards and we lost. And all of a sudden everybody said, uh-oh, maybe this is a problem. I remember Steve Martin. Remember, Steve Martin was kind of the poster boy for all that was wrong with the 2002 team.
Right.
He liked to talk. He didn't produce all
right.
that much.
Right.
Great guy. We loved right. him, but he didn't play very well.
But then
and he told me that Priest Holmes game, I said, have you ever had a situation where a guy, you know, just kind of took, if you remember, the Chiefs were down 14 in the fourth quarter, and they kept running the ball. And they, cause we couldn't stop them. And they tied the game, we went to overtime. Luckily, we won the toss, and Tom went down, and I think Troy Brown caught 16 passes in that game. But I asked him about the Priest Holmes' performance, and he said, never experienced anything like that since Barry Sanders.
Wow.
I mean, that stuck out to me.
Well, but one of the guys in this 60 Minutes group was a Washington Redskins fan, and they quizzed him and, you know, said, you know, when was the last time the Redskins lost to or beat Dallas or something like that? He had every answer, and in fact, one of them was a trick, and he goes, oh, no, they didn't play that week. It was a bye week. And this was like back in 1971 or something. This guy had an, you know, you're like that. It's unbelievable.
I'm not like that.
Well, you're close.
You could ask me stupid things and scores and stuff like that, and I'll remember a good percentage, but not every one, and well, not the specific week and day and stuff like that.
Well, I'd like to have that type of memory. I can't remember anything.
I'd like to have that type of memory for things that are relevant, you know, like history.
Well, what happens, what they say, they try to figure out why some people have better memories than others, and they did experiments with rats in like water and where they can find certain things and how they remember it. And they said that when there's a rush of adrenaline attached to a moment, you remember it. Like, you know, if you were interviewing me and all of a sudden like a bunch of rats started running around, that rush of adrenaline
I
would make you
all
remember
that.
everything that happened. And
that's true.
And so I think that when it comes to sports with you, you were so laid back in the rest of your life, and you get so amped up for watching sports that your adrenaline is working better.
That might be true.
You know?
You might be right about that. But I definitely can relate to that. I mean, things that you remember that were really adrenaline. I mean, I remember when I told you the story about spinning my car around on Starro Drive.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are, right, exactly.
You never, ever forget everything that about that. Right,
exactly.
That 30 seconds.
But I'll bet you when it comes to your kids' sporting events, you're going to remember
and
them.
Yes, I was just drinking to get drunk right. That night in case anybody wants to know.
But you're going to remember your kids' sporting events like you remember these because you're going to be up for them.
If they go on to play, you know.
Oh, I don't think it matters. I think
no. I'm right now. I don't remember anything about their games. His games.
Not the soccer. I'm talking when it comes to baseball.
We played baseball last night,
and you don't remember anything.
I remember. Well, I was coaching, but I don't know. There's nothing about the game specifically
no?
that I could rattle off to you. Will had a tough night on Sunday.
Yeah,
tough day.
You get in a fight?
No, just had a tough game. He bounced back a little bit last night, though.
Okay. Yemi from Texas. I agree with Fred about the wide receivers. We need a legit threat. We need a legit threat on the outside. Green Bay was actually the team that provided the blueprint on how to beat the Patriots. We scored 24 offensive points in that game, and one TD was set up by Dan Connolly's return. The Jets followed a similar game plan in their playoff win against us. I know Paul will say not every team has the personnel to do what Green Bay and the Jets did, but one team becomes two teams, and the number will continue to rise.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I'm not going to shoot it down. I think that Green Bay did do that, but you did provide my answer for me. You know me very well, because not all teams can do that. And let me tell you something. Green Bay and the Jets could do that, just what they did, to Plaxico Burress out there as well. It's not the caliber of player. It's the caliber of defender.
Well,
nothing.
No, I think that if you have...
That style would have shut down Plaxico Burress on the other side
not
of
all
Wes
game.
Welker.
Not all game.
Yes, it would have.
Not all game. I think, you know, all
you... You think that Deion Branch is a stiff, and you are wrong. Deion Branch is a good football player.
He's a very
There's
good...
not that much difference he's between a guy who's been in prison for 2 years and Deion Branch.
He's a very good route runner, but he's not... He doesn't have the speed he used to. He's not tall. You know, he's not going to go up over anyone. He needs to get open. He's not going to grab a ball away from anyone. And you need that once in a while. You need a guy who's going to go battle and win a one-on-one battle for football. You know, who's that guy on the team right now?
Who have they had that's been that guy other than Randy
Moss? I think
Moss?
David Givens was very
good. Was a guy who went up and went one-on-one battles.
He would. Yes,
David Givens was a route runner, just like Deion Branch, only in a different
he
style.
He caught a lot of balls up in the air. That weren't, you know, weren't perfectly thrown balls, but he made the catch anyway.
And you think that he's better than Deion Branch?
I think they're totally different athletes. I think Deion Branch is overall a better receiver, but
I agree with you. Listen, I have the utmost respect for David Givens, and I loved him. He was a great fit. I just don't think that a 6-foot guy was jumping over defenders, winning one-on-one battles on jump balls. That's not what he was.
Well. I'm surprised you don't remember some of them. And,
maybe
you
know, I didn't have any adrenaline going.
You know, obviously Randy Moss was a guy.
I said, other than Randy Moss. Who was the guy winning one-on-one battles?
John in South Carolina, what do you think is causing our problem over the middle? It is not just pressuring the quarterback. When I had games to watch with the DVR, I would time how long the QB held the ball, and many times the QB was getting rid of the ball in 3 seconds or less. I've seen a lack of coverage at the linebacker spot. I have seen our corners getting beaten. And as much as I like him, I have seen Chunks step up and just get beaten over the middle. So how do we solve the problem, and am I confusing the problem? By the way, let me share a story with you. Twice in the last 2 weeks, I have lost my wallet. Both times the wallet was returned to my house with all the cash in place. People may just be better than I thought they were. Maybe you lost them both times in church.
I would agree with that. I think that that is part of the pass rush problem. The middle of the field has been porous, and all the people that he mentioned are all guilty. The linebackers haven't been very good at it, Mayo included, and the safeties haven't been very good at it, Chung included, even though I think Chung is the best safety and Mayo definitely is the best linebacker. That's been an area of concern for a few years now, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you have a decent quarterback and he's getting the ball you know, he's getting rid of the ball quickly. He's very tough in
this league to defend. Do you remember
that game? You know, you just have to limit
to go back to the stupid, you know, memories. The Wildcat game.
Yeah.
With the Dolphins.
Here
right?
in Foxborough.
Now, everybody remembers that game, and rightly so, for the unbelievable performance that the Wildcat had, and Ronnie Brown in particular. I think he was part of 5 touchdowns that day. Do you remember what Chad Pennington did that day? Something like 17 for 20 for like a couple hundred yards and touchdown, no picks, all on little dumps over the middle. Anthony Fasano here. They couldn't stop them. Wide open. They were like these little three-step drops, so there's no way that the rush was going to get there and be a factor at all. That's the kind of stuff that teams have done too often to the Patriots secondary.
Right.
So I agree with the emailer there. They need to do something to fix that problem. Tight ends have been an ongoing concern. And the only time, you know what's weird to me? It seems the only time that they're able to contain tight ends is when the other team's tight end is really, really good. You know, a Dallas Clark or, you know, Tony Gonzalez when we played Atlanta a couple of years ago. And they devote extra attention to it. You know, when Bill deems the other team's tight end to be the number one thing that we need to take away, then they take it away.
Right.
But if it's just an element of the team,
right,
they kill us.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. And part of that is the style of the Patriots. You know, they don't take chances.
And it's defense. You know, you made the point, and I agree with you 100%. The offense continues to make up for these deficiencies, and what happens if the offense isn't there? That's your concern about the wide receiver. And I understand that. I understand that people – I want a receiver, too. I just don't want Plaxico Burress.
Okay. Whoops. Let's see. Phil writes in. Where's Phil from?
Nova Scotia?
Oh, no. Ross, I mean. Ross writes in. He's from Glasgow.
Ventrone?
Men of PFW, I feel safe saying that with only Fred and Paul there. I don't know if you saw the John Clayton article on Tiki Barber recently. I normally avoid his article since the Brady could sit out camp nonsense he came out with last summer. But he mentioned Tiki as a possible Patriot target as a third down back if Falk doesn't come back. I don't know about you, but putting aside the fact that he is known as a locker room cancer and the antithesis of a Patriots player, did Clayton not see any Woodhead film last year? Does he know we drafted Vereen? I'm not sure Tiki gets a job in the UFL, never mind with the Pats. Has Clayton lost it, or has he stopped taking his medication? Makes me glad that I get my regular informed Pats news from you guys. Well, at least the last few Tuesdays. I think that is? Yeah.
I think that every time there's a high-profile guy out there, especially one with a little bit of a history, a checkered past, you know, Plax, Corey Dillon,
right,
Randy Moss, Tiki Barber, even though it's not necessarily you know, a law-related checkered past, he did walk away from the game.
Right.
I think they automatically say, well, Belichick, he's interested in those guys. Belichick's a team to keep an eye on.
But they, in this case, was Tiki Barber. He had a list of 3 teams that he'd be interested in.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots were one of them.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But I agree with the emailer wholeheartedly. Ross, I think he's absolutely right. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever.
I don't either.
I say 0.0.
In fact, forget about Plaxico Burress being late for meetings and carrying the gun. I think that Tiki Barber, if you compare those two players, Tiki Barber is probably less a Belichick-type player than Plaxico Burress. Because Tiki Barber did it all with his mouth. He badmouthed his own team.
They're very similar, though.
I think
anything you're going to say negative about Tiki Barber, I'm going to agree with. I'm not willing to say that Plax isn't in the same boat.
Well, Plax did other things to hurt his team, yes, but because he's an idiot.
Yeah, you know what?
He's an idiot.
I'm going to give you the nod because, as far as I know, the teammates themselves liked Plex, and I don't think that they liked Tiki.
Right.
I don't think the
Tiki's
teammates
supposed to be this smart guy.
Oh,
you know?
Such an unbelievable.
He's a fraud.
You know what he is?
He's a fraud.
I'll tell you who he is
in
a nutshell. He's Eric. You stole my punchline.
Oh, my God. And just the gall that he thinks he's going to come back.
You know, listen, he's not the first guy to walk away from the game prematurely and regret it. I don't hold that against him. But I do hold against him his ideals. You know, this whole notion that he is smarter than everybody else and doesn't need this kind of stuff and all of that. And then you come back. Like I said, there's a million examples of guys who walked away from the game and then regretted it.
Yep.
But you don't have to tell us how smart you are all the time, right, and all that nonsense. He's a bad guy. And the way he treated the Giants,
Right.
The players themselves, Eli Manning in particular,
and his coach,
reprehensible. And the fact that, listen, it's all over now. We lost, you know, the whole event that, you know, that happened, you know, in the desert.
Right.
That
right.
we don't talk about.
Right.
All right. We lost. Okay. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm glad the Giants were able to win because of that.
Right. Yeah.
Because they really made him look like a total buffoon.
Yep.
You know, he always said they can't win because Eli Manning's not a leader. And then Mr. Super Cool left, and they won.
Right. Talk. Who's the leader? Hey, guys, loving the show, says Phil in Salt Lake City. Glad to have your help with all of the non-lockout topics. Couple of questions this offseason. Feel free to address as many of them as you would like, or if Fred starts talking about his Cadillac, none of them. One, if you could have any former Patriots player, who would you take back if you could get them back for reasonable market value, not Bill's reasonable market value, and they would behave themselves as if they never left? Seymour, Samuel, Moss, or maybe even Seau?
Absolutely not Seau. Seymour, Samuel, take Samuel. Or Moss?
I think he's got more left, and you can't have enough good corners.
I would take Seymour.
See, I don't know how much he's got left.
I don't know. What's it, 2 years difference?
I take Samuel.
I mean, there's two years difference in experience. There's probably only 1 year different in age because Seymour left early.
You know, that's current guys. We talked about this the other last week. Who would you take all time?
And we came up with Tip.
Tip. I mean, that's the guy. That's the guy they've been looking for all these years. Andre Tippett, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly take Samuel back, too, no doubt.
In the nickel-and-dime defense packages, what other players come off the field? Does the 3-4 become a 2-4 or a 3-3 or just whatever Bill decides he wants to do at the time?
It's whatever. I mean, in terms of the people who come off, defensive linemen do come off, but they still have guys that are lined up in defensive line spots.
Right.
So it could be a 2, you know, a 2-whatever or a 3. They can put – I mean, they've had times where they've had none.
Right.
So that does depend on how Bill wants to play it. But in terms of the guys that generally come off, Will Fork, Ty Warren. Will Fork stayed on the field a little bit more often on third downs last year. But last year, Gerard Warren would come off the field on third down. Ty Warren has generally been a guy who's come off the field. You know, Brandon Spikes, if he's out there, he's coming off. Guyton's going on.
Right.
Things like that.
Do the Patriots have the personnel to line up with the same players and go 4 to 6 plays without substituting players? Would it be a good idea? It seems like we have enough players that we can catch and block that we could line up and go power run and then use the same guys to spread it out and create matchup problems. Maybe I just don't know anything about football and that doesn't really work.
Offensively, I think they could do that.
That's what he's talking about.
If they chose, yeah. Defensively, I'm not sure they could do that. Offensively, I think they could line up with the same 11 players for a series and be balanced and do whatever they wanted and be successful.
Yep.
Yeah. Because, like, Gronkowski can catch the ball and block as a tight end. Your wide receivers stay the same anyway unless it's short yardage.
Right.
And I think that, you know, Benny is a good enough out of the backfield to catch a swing pass if you needed him to.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's all you're looking at is you're changing your tight ends and you're changing your backs.
And that's
right?
That's the key. That's what every offense wants to do. They, out of a certain personnel set, they want to be able to do multiple things.
Right.
And that's what keeps the defense
guessing.
And I
think that's part of why the Patriots offense has been very successful over the years, is I think they've had the ability to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, they use third down backs just like everybody else. But how many times do you see Woodhead on the field on first down? Often.
Right.
Last year.
Sure.
Kevin Falk.
Yep.
Often.
Right.
In the past.
Mike in Hancock, Maryland. Hey guys, great show as usual. I usually catch the podcast, but occasionally get to listen live like today. Oh, welcome. Belichick has always been a fan of competition. He doesn't like veteran players getting too complacent. He likes to have young guys on the roster pushing the starters. I know this approach isn't unique to the Patriots, but this makes my point. When was the last time Belichick felt like he was looking over his shoulder? When was the last time he got a little extra motivation because some young coach was maybe gunning for his job? Has it ever happened? Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss were probably the best set of coordinators the Pats have ever had. Did that keep Belichick hungry, so to speak? Listen, I know argument may be a reach, but this is what it's come to now. It's so bad that I chewed out the DirecTV guy last week when he called and asked me about renewing my Sunday ticket package. You know, I think, yeah, I don't know. That might be more of an interesting question than it sounds. You know, where does Bill Belichick get his motivation from? A lot of people get their motivation out of fear for the job. I know I do. But, you know, when you get to somebody, when you get to a point where Bill Belichick is, I'm saying he doesn't have to worry about his job, but I don't know if he feels the same way. You know, and I just think for him, it's just that, you know, constant need to, you know, be great. And I think that's what motivates him. I don't think he's worried about somebody taking his job, though.
I don't think that's an issue at all with him, is him worried about looking over his shoulder. But it's not the same to me as the players. I agree with the notion for players, not for coach, and not for him especially, because he's incredibly motivated and he loves it. He absolutely lives to devise a game plan, to watch game film, to pick apart an opponent. That's the things that he loves more than anything, I think, in this world.
Yep. Mully from Pennsylvania, this is kind of for Paul. I mean, for Chris upstairs. Not sure if you already know, but the iPhone app doesn't work as well. It says scheduled maintenance, and it has said that for about 2 weeks now. I'm not completely sure if it's being worked on or if something is wrong with it. However, I have you know what it is, Mully? You need to download the new app. There's a new version in iTunes. And I know that the old app, because we launched the new website, the feeds were completely different. And so for a while, if you went to the old app, it would say, oh, you're going to need to upgrade soon. Just go and download the current Patriots app from iTunes and you'll be all set. Football related question. What exactly do you and Paul think Razai's role will be? This is the one player I'm confused on, but I personally think that he will be playing sub packages and maybe even safety. What do you guys think? I think
sub packages for sure. I don't know exactly what he'll be doing. I share your confusion on that one.
I think that he's going to go into camp competing for a starting job. And then, you know, I know you think he's too tall to play that nickel.
I have nothing to do with his size. He's never done it. I asked right. Bill that draft day. You were there.
Right.
If he had ever had any experience playing inside, he said no. It's been strictly an outside corner. So I don't know if that's something that's in his skill set.
Maybe you move Bodden inside.
He also has not played
never
inside.
Never had played inside.
Yeah, I won't say never for him. He's been in the NFL for, you know, 8 or 9 years, whatever it is, 7 or 8 years. But he hasn't, not certainly not for the Patriots.
Well, I think by the end of the year, Bodden will not be a starter. It will be Dowling and McCourty.
I'd be completely stunned if that were the case, unless it were an injury.
Okay.
Completely stunned.
All right. That's a preseason prediction I'm making. Donald.
Well, I know, because the Patriots made a pick, so you have to automatically think the guy is
you don't have to be,
a Hall of Famer.
You don't have to be snarky like that.
Well, that was your attitude from the start. Well, the Patriots picked him.
Well,
so.
The Patriots, you know, paid for Lee Bodden in free agency. Why don't I have as much, you know, faith in, you know, oh, the Patriots signed him in free agency. He should be the starter. It's the same thing. He's still on the team.
But this is 3 years later. He was the starter. They did sign him as a free agent. He was the starter.
By default.
No, what default?
Because no one beat him out. I think
no one liked the second round pick they took that year.
I think Razai.
Correct?
Yeah, I think Razai's going to beat him. He's going to beat him out.
Based on what?
Based on a feeling.
Okay.
And scouting reports.
That's all I'm asking you.
And scouting reports. Hey, Twins, says Donald from BC.
Do you know those two guys that played in the...
Donald's from Marietta, Georgia.
Do you know the two guys that played in Wimbledon last year that had that marathon match? Remember that?
Yeah.
70-68, I think, in the fifth set. They're playing in the first round.
Oh.
That had to be intentional, right?
How
do they do that? Is that like that's not a, it can't be a blind draw. How do they do the draws for those tournaments?
I'm not sure.
I know they seed,
right?
But like the other guys, how do they find, you know?
I don't know.
How does one shoemaker get matched up with another in the first round?
I don't know. That's interesting though.
It's an amazing coincidence.
Don from Marietta, Georgia. It seems to me that Bill looks to rookie free agents to catch on, especially at linebacker. See Guyton, Fletcher Woods, and I know there are others, so don't count the brother out. I never watched college ball. Oh, this he's talking about Herzlick, I think. I never watched college ball and don't know anybody until the draft talk starts. And it's not easy to be so uninformed of college sports here in Marietta, Georgia, but I manage. I follow the Dirty Bird some, but the Pats have been my heart since Grogan, Hanna, and Tippett. I tell the Georgians when they ask that the Falcons are like a girl on the side. I hope to score, but I'm still going home at night. In truth, I'd never have a girl on the side. I married my only girlfriend, who was still my best friend.
Oh, that's just sweet. Like Andy Hart.
So he's saying that Herzlick, don't count him out. He could still be in there.
Yeah, I'm not counting him out, by the way, to make a team. I'm counting him, you know, all those guys you mentioned, Fletcher, Guyton, I'm counting him out to be an impact player. I have an undrafted free agent or two is going to make the Patriots every year. It always happens.
Yep.
All teams have undrafted free agents. James Harrison was an undrafted free agent. You know what I mean? He's a superstar. I don't think that Herzlick will ever be an impact guy. Forget about James Harrison. I don't think he'll ever be a full-time, you know, frontline starting kind of player. Because very concerned about his health, not because of the ability. He had the ability. We all know that. 2 years ago, he was as good a college football player, defensive football player, as there was. And that pains me based on the school that he attended.
Right. You hate BC.
But he was a terrific football player.
He'd be the perfect guy. What do you got, Kevin?
Speaking of which, are you sad about your hockey coach?
No, I'm not necessarily sad. I'm a little disappointed, but I knew it was coming. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you have a second-rate school that doesn't want to pay its coaches and put any commitment into athletics.
Shots over the bow there, Freddie.
You don't commit to the athletics and you lose guys. Lose good guys, good personnel. Guys.
I asked Paul if he was going to go for the job.
He wanted me to apply.
You could. Why not?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. It's 1:37. We need to take one more break, and we'll be right back with more of your emails and phone calls.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm gonna make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo was involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Tech and Hotline. We do have a couple open lines right now, so if you want to get in. Yemi from Texas wants to know, what does Fred have against Lee Bodden?
Yeah, it really is kind of strange. It is.
I think, you know what I think?
I don't know.
You know what I think it is here?
He got worse while not playing.
I'll tell
somehow.
You, well, that's part of it, but I'll tell you what it is. I've been a little bit traumatized by our record of signing defensive backs in free agency.
But the guy showed you he could play 2 years ago.
No, he was okay. He wasn't that good. He wasn't that good.
But a guy you've never seen. Now, all right, you've been picking fights with me all day. You've been trying to get me involved. So let's get into it.
All right. So you're saying that a guy that I've never seen.
You're traumatized by free agent guys.
Defensive,
but somehow you're not traumatized by second round picks at cornerback.
Well, this was a special pick. This was the top of the second round. Okay. It was really like a first round pick.
Okay, so they just to recap, in the last three years, they've drafted Terrence Wheatley in that spot.
I know.
They've drafted Darius Butler in that spot. Now they drafted Rasai Dowling in that spot.
Right.
But because this is 33 instead of 36 or whatever those other guys were, This is a sure thing.
Three times a charm.
And I'm not trying to say that Dowling was a bad. I don't know. I don't know a lot about him. He didn't play last year.
Those were Pioli picks. God. That's different.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. That Butler wasn't.
So I have a feeling this guy's going to be much, much better. And, you know, I just.
Besides the fact that they're all Belichick picks anyway, and you know that.
Not necessarily. I mean, some Belichick gives, you know, lets Pioli do it based on his scouting, but I think that, Dowling is going to be, that was a big pick. That was a very valuable pick. And I don't think they would have.
It was an early second round pick, just like those other guys were.
And I don't think they would have used the pick if they weren't absolutely sure of this guy in that, you know.
Why?
Because they
could. Do you think that they thought they weren't absolutely sure? When they made any pick high in the draft?
No, but I think they had other.
You think they thought they were absolutely sure when they traded up for Daniel Graham?
I think they had other options, good options, for this particular pick.
Again, when you pick early in the draft, you got to be pretty sure about the guy.
No, I know, but
they don't all pan out. And now, for the Patriots have an excellent track record for their guys panning out in the first and second round.
They had other viable options for, you know, this pick, not just in players, but in moves. And I think that they chose to go with the pick, and they took this guy, and I think he's going to eventually
be
a starter.
I hope you're right. Certainly when you draft a cornerback that high, he is eventually going to be a starter. He should be, or he's a bust, like Terrence Wheatley.
Yep.
And maybe like Darius Butler.
Or even Jonathan Wilhite. I know he wasn't.
Yeah, he was a fourth rounder.
Right.
I mean, I think when you take guys that high, you're expecting them to be starters. Maybe not right away. And that's why I'd be stunned if he's a starter right away, because you have two established guys.
And I don't think he will be a starter right away.
And Bodden and McCourty.
He's not going to be a starter
right away.
No, I mean
in year one, I mean.
Oh.
Barring an injury.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be a starter. Now, I think he'll get playing time. I think he'll be in sub-packages, just like the emailer said.
Right. Josh from Waterloo. Hey, guys, and the Ethiopian bodybuilder. That would be Eric. Can you guys talk?
Tiki. We should just start calling him Tiki now.
Right. Can you guys talk more in detail about the Bill Parcells hiring and his departure? Some of us that were fans back then but live out of the area didn't have PFW's voice of reason to really let us know what's going on.
Crap.
Freddie, that's one for you.
Well,
you weren't here for his hiring, but you were here for his departure.
Yeah, his hiring was before Kraft. It was, in James Orthwine bought the team basically to keep it out of bankruptcy and protect his. He was a minority investor, but part of the Bush, the Budweiser family. So he had a lot of money, and to protect their investment after the team looked like it was going to go bankrupt,
Bush.
He bought the
That's
team.
Pretty good observation.
He bought the team and said at the time, I'm only buying this as a temporary owner to protect my investment, and I'm gonna sell it. Once we get this team back on its feet, I'm going to sell it. Now, everyone thought that, he'd sell it to St. Louis, somebody in St. Louis, because there was rumblings at the time that, St. Louis has wanted a team again. Remember, they had the St. Louis Rams, and they lost them and all that. So, the Cardinals.
They lost them.
So he buys the team, and this guy was smart. He wasn't a football fan. He really wasn't even a sports fan, but he was smart. He had good, smart people advising him. First thing he did is he brought in Bill Parcells, and I'm assuming paid a lot of money to do it, but that got instant credibility for the team. And the day
he knew that he couldn't just sell it, he couldn't just come in and buy it, try to stabilize it and sell it. He had to increase its value.
Right.
And that was a huge first step in doing so.
So he did that. He brought in Parcells. Parcells then had the first overall pick. He drafted Drew Bledsoe. And then the next year.
Brilliant.
Robert Kraft was able to buy the team from Orthwine, kept Parcells. Parcells at the time was like, I don't know if I want to work for this new owner. Kraft convinced him, look, winning is number one. That's all I want to do. So once Parcells heard that, he stayed on as the head coach. And, the day after Kraft bought the team, I think they were sold out, and they've been sold out ever since. So things were going good. Parcells gets them to the Super Bowl, but then rumors start during that playoff run that he's thinking of leaving. And with Parcells, those rumors don't come from anywhere. He's a master at getting this stuff leaked out. He already had a deal done with the Jets in principle, which I think that's why a lot of fans are still upset with him. And once the Super Bowl was over, he left on another plane, didn't come back with the team, and signed with the Jets. And, that's why people are upset with Bill Parcells. But as we've seen, he does this all the time. That's who he is. He's not a guy that you can really plan long-term around. He, like Bill Belichick, he's been here for 10 years, and he'll probably be here for the foreseeable future. You can plan around Bill Belichick. You can't do that with Bill Parcells because he said himself, I coach year to year.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Every year after the season, he'd take his car and he'd drive down to Seagirt, where he used to have a house, and then he'd go to Florida, and he'd think about whether or not he wants to come back again. All right, well, that's great for you, Bill, but meanwhile, we're trying to get ready for next year, Let us know when you're ready. So that's the frustrating thing about Bill Parcells.
I agree.
All right.
But,
You
were here.
I was here.
That's why I thought you'd be better to answer that.
I was here. I lived through it. I was very upset with Parcells. I said on the plane,
I was very upset too.
On the plane going to
Freddie, just so you know, listeners, Freddie all but had a wagging finger in Parcells' face just now when he said that. He shook his head and just, not even disgust. It was more disappointment, as if you would look at your 6-year-old son, for an example, and say, "I'm very disappointed in you."
That's even worse. Like, I'm not upset.
Yeah, I'm not upset, but I'm disappointed that you would make such a bad choice.
There was a guy that Parcells, I think it was his high school football coach, that he always took with him. He took with him, and the Giants were in the Super Bowl. So he brought this guy in our team plane on the way to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I don't know how I met him, but I got to talk to him. And I said, because I know he had a lot of influence on Parcells, I said, you really need to talk to him. Just tell him to stay. Just all this other stuff. Just tell him to stay. Fred did. But, that was too bad.
It was. It didn't, I think things could have worked out differently if the timing was different. I think if you know, like that was, as you pointed out, it was the advent of the craft ownership.
Right.
And I think, you know, as Bill said, as Parcells himself said, when he was nominated for the Hall of Fame, a lot of things I wish I could do over again, and I'm sure that Robert would say the same thing.
Sure. And I think,
and I think that if it happened, you know, when Belichick came, you know, now you're what, 6-7 years into the Kraft ownership. Well, he learned a lot of the things that it takes to succeed. No, we already knew he was a brilliant business mind, and he knew he had winning first and foremost. But now he understands a little bit more about how to go about winning. And I think if Parcells come at that point, maybe that mesh would have been a little.
Yeah.
Now listen, you're right about Parcells. He's always got an eye on something else too. So to say that he would have been here like Belichick for the foreseeable future, you know, probably a stretch. But I think that they might have gotten along a little bit better had it come at a different time.
I do, yeah. And, you know, look, things happen the way they did. And, you know, the butterfly effect, if Parcells had stayed one more year, maybe we wouldn't have had this great run in the 2000s, you know. But those events, Parcells burning Kraft, Kraft wanting more control and hiring a guy in Pete Carroll, you know, that he could, you know, control a little bit more, and having that fail
right
led to, okay, let me give the keys to Bill Belichick. Had those things not happened prior, maybe, you know, you never know. Maybe Kraft would not have learned the lessons that he did and been willing to give a guy like Belichick that type of control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as Patriots fans, it all happened for the good. You know, we're glad it happened the way it did. Greg says, as far as the Wimbledon draw, he says it's 100% a draw from a hat. They pick the number, rank of each player, and pair them up against each other. There was a 0.7% chance of those two guys getting each other again in the first round.
But do you? I mean, it can't be strictly out of a hat for everybody. You mean like of similar players?
I don't know.
You know, in other words, Nadal and Federer aren't going to get drawn out of a hat and have to play each other in the first round.
Right.
I mean,
beyond the seeding guys, the seed guys, the number one seeds.
So that's what I'm saying. The unseeded players are all in a hat.
That's what I think he's saying. Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't know. I was legitimately asking. Yeah. I had no idea how it works. I said it's an amazing coincidence.
Al writes in, unlike Paul, I can't instantly recall specific bad Patriot moments over the years, but when prompted, I do. For example, I might be watching a certain NFL film's highlight reel from another team from back in the day, and I might see, for example, wide receiver Clifton McNeil beat us deep for a score at Harvard Stadium, and then I proclaim, yes, I was at that game, and boy, did we suck. Gunga da Gunga. It's Al, Big Al from
Gunga da Gunga.
Valdosta, Georgia.
Al's called then. He's a good guy.
Oh, of
course. Al's great. He's been around forever.
Al's got a booming voice.
A lot longer than you, my friend.
Okay. What does that mean?
You don't have to tell us that he's a great guy.
Okay, I was just chiming in that he was a good guy.
What did he say to you earlier?
Gettysburg.
You sound like Tim Thomas at that press conference.
Remember what he said?
Yeah, that did
Marshmont after a few
that
cocktails.
Made no sense.
Right.
Oh God.
What are you doing? All right. You okay? You look a little red. You play a lot of golf over the weekend?
He was here the whole weekend.
I
you didn't read his Facebook post?
Saturday till like 11:30 at night.
Well, where'd you get the sunburn?
Sunday for Father's Day. I spent some time with my dad, and we sat on the beach and had a beverage.
Nice.
And sat on the porch for a while. It was nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
Your dad has a place on the beach?
My parents, I actually grew up, we have a house that's like, I don't know, 100 yards from the beach or something.
Oh, where?
Down in Plymouth.
Oh,
the southern
great.
Part of Plymouth.
That's awesome.
So you can walk with your bare feet, like from my step down to the beach, which is pretty nice.
Wow. That's living.
Yeah.
That's living right there, huh, Freddie?
That's
clean living.
That's kind of like my dream is to have a house on the beach. It'll never happen.
And the good thing about
you didn't live on the beach when you lived down the Cape?
No.
The good thing about
I could ride my bike to it, but I didn't live on it.
We're just before the canal, so you don't have to deal with the bridge on and off during the summer.
Yeah.
So that's a big, big plus.
Yeah.
Because you can wait for hours getting on
the
bridge.
Oh, yeah. That bridge is crazy. Although they have improved it.
Yeah, they got rid of the rotary, which
right.
is nice.
I don't think I've driven down there since the rotary's been gone.
Really?
You should go see a Cape League game.
It's a lot better.
Kids, Paul.
Yeah, check out some YD baseball.
You should.
Yeah. There's a collegiate league. I actually go into a game Saturday night. There's it's a different league,
yeah,
but the North Shore Navigators play in Lynn.
Loser.
No, but if you,
it's a fundraiser for my kids' little league.
Oh.
I didn't mean to, you know, support the program. Sorry.
But it is. I used to go down there. My dad used to take me down, and with a buddy or two, and you go down there. It's free admission. Hot dogs are like a buck. It's a great take.
Great take.
Great take. Great take.
Sam in Chicago.
Sorry, I had an invite to play in the Cape League, Freddie. Did you know that?
Did you?
I did.
You had an invite to play in the Cape League?
I did. Wait a minute. I had an invite to try out to play in the Cape League.
It's like the assistant to the traveling secretary.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I could have played. Because the reason why I didn't take the guy up on the invite is I knew that I was nowhere near the caliber of player to... Those are all future pros. Cape League.
You were a crafty left-hander.
Right, and I would have been craftily shelled down at the Cape if I had done so. But I also needed to earn a lot more money than I would have, you know.
It's tough down there.
Painting houses or something during the day while I pitched at night.
Sam in Chicago, sorry to bring it up, but can you clarify the whole background and character involved with the phrase, who shall not be named? I'm guessing years ago you had some two-faced guy that worked with you and revealed his or her true colors when they left. That's absolutely, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and we don't need to go any further.
He really revealed a lot of the stuff while he was still here. You know, he was a hothead and all that, and he was out for himself. But then when he left, he wrote some really scathing stuff about the entire organization, us as well, but mostly about players and just, you know, trying to be a tough guy making a name for himself.
Right.
And that's why he's who shall not be named.
Right. He didn't take into consideration his actions, what it might mean to us.
Yeah. Now, when he was here, I thought he was a funny guy. I still think he's a funny guy. But I didn't necessarily agree with how he tried to go about his business. I thought he was trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, he was a self-promoter.
First, and then he was worried about doing the job second.
Self-promoter. Let's see. Dan writes in, stay away from Burris, he says. If Bill didn't want to reach for an impact player in the draft because of reduced training camp time with the lockout, a player that's been out of football for 2 years shouldn't be much more appealing. Well, that's assuming that that's what Bill didn't want to do. If character wasn't an issue, I'd rather have someone like T.O. He was productive last year, stays in shape, and should have just as much big play potential as Burris, if not more, with his speed. But maybe someone like Price can make the jump to starting caliber. Well, that's what Paul's hoping for. He's got a lot riding on Taylor Price this year. So, right now he's checking his Twitter.
I like the phone.
On his iPhone. Let's see, a report. This is from Pro Football Talk. New CBA would include 16-game Thursday night TV package. Oh, I don't like the sound of that. With the NFL trying to get the players to take less per dollar in the hopes of getting more total dollars, and with the players reluctant to grow the pie by growing the regular season, we've been mentioning two primary commitments that the players should be requesting. One, a certain date for the NFL to return to Los Angeles, and two, discontinuation of the late season Thursday night regular season games on NFL Network, with the games instead being sold to the highest bidder. Chris Mortensen of ESPN reports that the latter will be part of a new labor deal. Specifically, Mort reports that a 16-week Thursday night TV package will be developed starting in 2012.
Wow.
To maximize revenue, the package will be sold on the open market. We've previously heard whispers that the 8-game NFL Network package could have generated more than $500 million. A 16-game Thursday night package could be worth $1 billion. If the network that gets the Thursday night package already has a TV deal in place with the NFL, don't be surprised if the acquisition of the new asset includes an extension of the current arrangement. The development is bad news for NFL Network, which will become far less attractive to cable operators without regular season NFL football. That said, the NFL could reserve some late season Saturday night games for NFL Network. Still, if the goal is to grow the pie, the players should want any and all nationally televised games to be sold to networks that are willing to pay more for the rights than they ever will realize in advertising revenue and or subscription fees.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. But I don't like Thursday night games.
Well, I don't either, but unfortunately, Fred, they're not going to go away. They're only, as Mort says, they're only going to increase because they make too much money.
I guess
if you can get $1 billion by having a 16-game Thursday night package, you have the reasons why you shouldn't do it?
Yeah.
That's hard.
I know. I know.
I don't like him
either. $1 billion is $1 billion.
And I don't like it. The coaches don't like it. The players don't really like it.
But I have to say, though, that's, you know, not that it's that out-of-the-box thinking, because I guess they thought about, you know, getting rid of that NFL Network game and selling it because they could make more. But it's that type of thinking that can make the CBA happen, this new CBA happen, because that's revenue that didn't exist before.
Right.
You know, and so that, you know, those are the things that if it gets a deal done, okay, let's do it. I hate Thursday night games. Andy Hart writes, and he wants to know, did Eric break his iPhone too? No tweets from Springfield? And Fred, we'd have to get Walter Payton for defenses to respect the run as much as Brady.
I'm glad he's got nothing to do.
I mean, I hear what he's saying, but I don't think you need to have Walter Payton in order for a team to respect the run. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that defenses have to respect their running game. I don't think the Patriots are one of them, and I'd like to get to there.
Who has a passing game like the Patriots that has to have their running game respected?
Do
you have to respect Joseph Addai in the running game?
No, but I think at one time, you know, you had to respect the Chargers running game.
Yeah, but they had LT.
Well,
I'm in his prime.
See, it can happen.
They certainly didn't have Tom Brady in his prime when they had LT.
Look, I'm not throwing out the possibility. Look, if the Rams get to where they want to be, they'll be one of those teams where you have to respect the passer and the runner and Steven Jackson.
Yeah, by the time that happens, Steven Jackson won't be there.
Why,
anymore.
You don't think that Andy's guy's going to be good next year?
Yeah, he'll be good, but that's not what they have to. You don't have to sit there and respect Sam Bradford the way you do Brady.
Look, just because it's rare to have a grade A running game and a grade A passer doesn't mean I can't reach for that goal.
But my point.
Right now, you've got a C running game.
I know what you're saying. I just think that the lack of running game isn't have anything to do to me with any lack of production. They've been among the highest scoring team in football for the last 5 years.
Only because of Tom Brady.
Well, that's your opinion. I mean, I saw a running back get 13 touchdowns last year. To me, that was part of their offense. They were excellent in the red zone.
They wouldn't have been down there in the red zone if it wasn't Tom Brady. Look.
So what? Who cares how they got
if
there?
If Tom Brady wasn't as good as he is.
So it would be okay if we ran the ball 12 times to get in the red zone and then ran it in. If Tom Brady has to throw the ball to get us in the red zone,
Tom Brady,
that's not okay.
If Tom Brady wasn't as good as he is, with this running game, do you think their offense would be even nearly as good?
No,
of course not.
But you have Tom Brady.
Right, but I still say you can make Tom Brady even more. I'm not saying he can be any better than he is, because that's hard, but he can be more efficient than he is.
Really?
If you have a better running game.
You really think that? You think he's capable of being more efficient than 36 touchdowns and 4 picks?
You take the pressure off of him. You decrease the hits. You perhaps extend his career.
Insane.
You do all those things with a better running game.
I do. I think you're insane.
Well, I mean, you're happy with the running game as it is. That's fine.
I'm happy with the offense as it is. Don't put words in my mouth. You're not smart enough to do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy with the offense.
It took too long to get into this fight.
No, we argued earlier.
Yeah, you were gone. We argued when you were gone.
Actually, somebody had a lot of things to say about your Bruins montage that you put.
Ripping you.
No, that's no good.
Ripping you.
Sorry, I tried.
No, they actually really liked it.
It was the opposite. They liked it.
Guy said he was crying.
Guys, listened to it like 3 times since.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us as the flame still burns down here in Gillette Stadium. These guys will be back on Thursday.
The summer of Andy will not continue on Thursday.
I won't be here Thursday.
Back.
Andy will be here. Paul will be here. Eric will be here. And the show will go on. Lost track of how far I've gone. Far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the ride. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for
for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.